Welcome to Priya Marketing Alliance. This is executive from Amadeus, back again as your host on Cloud Tech Talks, your go-to cloud podcast. Let's catch up on the topic, strategies for multi-cloud cost optimization. We have Errol Kovas with us again. Let's begin. You have spearheaded multiple projects in your stint, Errol. So can you share with us some real-world examples of organizations that have successfully adopted and optimized their cloud costs in a multi-cloud, especially in the multi-cloud environment?
Yep. I had a client in Europe, a huge insurance company that has been working with three cloud providers because, you know, I've been working in the financial services long years. I have a really good domain experience. Sometimes you need to acquire some specific third-party software to run your systems. And, you know, even though the insurance provider was having four different cloud providers, they still need to run some on-prem as well. And you need to make judgment about how I can migrate first to the cloud. You know, is it reliable to run in the cloud and will it be cost effective? And for that team start to develop some third-party software for them, you know, integrate with some cost cloud tools. I think they were using like three tools at the same time. They couldn't find a specific tool that can overcome all they need, even with some customization. And the problem is they start to hire a lot more FinOps professionals to overcome that problem because they couldn't find the FinOps lead that knows every cloud provider they've been using to understand. Because even we have similarities between the cloud providers about the services, you know, AWS has got Lambdas, Azure has functions, Google has functions. They are, you know, considered as a different type of cost elements. Sometimes you need to be careful about, you know, switching between them because there might be side effects about the cost. AWS Lambda charges you with the milliseconds, but the other ones are charging you seconds. So if you have a very short running job, that might also incur some costs. Because when AWS made the decision, I was also helping a startup in San Francisco, and our cost went down like 35%. Just changing the cost from seconds to milliseconds. Maybe some of other our neighbors in the system increased the costs, but for us, because all our jobs were very, you know, short running, less than a second, or we have millisecond controls everywhere, it was effective. That's the reason it becomes a very huge organization about cloud and FinOps to, you know, decide if we need to go multi-cloud, which cloud is the best cloud. There are many questions there: technical, security, financial, and also the business direction. I have one client that has multiple cloud providers, and they are also ISV partners. They are a technology company, but they have a leadership decision to use which application will go to which cloud provider. The FinOps is just taking care of make it steady and cheap in the exact cloud provider. There's no way that you can switch because of dependencies, because of the client base that are using that. Recently, a startup from US reached out to us. They said their application has been developed in AWS, but they acquired a client, and this is a SaaS platform. They want to go to Azure immediately because their client has a sickness about some Amazon products, and they have a conflict of interest. They don't want to use anything named Amazon, and we help them to migrate very quickly, but it's been a challenging work, you know, a bit teamwork. And at that time, you cannot consider the costs, you know, there is a business requirement. And now, after they go live in the Microsoft environment, now we are trying to build that FinOps practice, you know, cloud cost controls, because we were excessively provisioning the resources to just to overcome the first business requirements. But now, at the same time, we need to take care of what we need to provide.
Yeah, thank you for that, Errol. Yes, the enterprises should be cautious about their choices. Even minute things can cost them dollars. Yeah, thank you for that. I would like to ask to choose between these three and your take on, would love to hear your take on this. Serverless computing, edge computing, AI-driven cloud computing practices. Which one do you think would conquer 2024? Would conquer or boom more?
You know, in 2024, everyone is related with the AI. But I think it is very early to do AI-controlled computing environments. I think 2025 will be better because, you know, the adoption can come from the startup in the small, medium-sized businesses very quickly, but enterprise will think this many, many times. You know, my time in a different consulting company in one of the big fours, I recently joined the EPAM systems. You know, we were giving lots of proof of concepts to Canadian and US enterprises, but adoption rate was very slow. Everyone is interested, but they need to see if the market will accept this. There will be, you know, responsibility of the AI, how it will be affecting. That's the reason I'm a bit, you know, waiting another, you know, another year to, you know, increase the adoption. But at the same time, from the serverless computing side, that's an important. I think that adoption has been completed from the small, medium size. Now it is time for ready for the enterprise. I've been seeing so many application modernization project proposals in Canada and US for enterprises. They have been running the same application for ages, but they are now open to modernize it because cloud cost is also another factor for modernization. Because when you lift and shift your application to the cloud, you don't get the benefits. Sometimes it becomes more, you know, costly than it should be in your data centers because of you have, you know, already capital expenditure is there. You know, you can continue running it. But if you want to get the real results and cost effectiveness of the cloud, maybe you need to re-architect your application to provide an event-driven architectures, more serverless computing. And it will also be a climate-centric environment. It will be carbon cautious that you can run your computes whenever you need it. You know, you don't need to pay or you don't need to bring more carbons to the air at the same time. That can be a really good effect. But, you know, AI, we have time. It's in the early ages for the enterprises, but for, you know, serverless computing should be the first priority for everyone to look into.
Yeah, it's AI is already on the hype, but the priority should be on serverless computing, rightly put. I would like to understand, as you know, we have a CloudFinOps tool in our organization as a tool vendor. As a third-party tool provider, I would like to understand something from you, Errol. So what are the major challenges do you see in enterprises in choosing the right tool? Or they are also concerned about whether they should go for FinOps Center of Excellence, setting up FinOps Center of Excellence within their team and employing FinOps professionals within the team, or they should go for the FinOps tools. So what do you see? How do you see this where do you think they could solve this?
You know, I always compare FinOps to a DevOps. You know, when DevOps culture has been started to adopt it, most of the enterprises are always slow to do that action. You know, they see, let's see if small, medium sizes startups are okay, or is it good for our enterprise environment? They were very slow. But FinOps has a different, you know, a factor there, different, you know, aim to do. Because when the cloud costs arise, probably a CEO, CFO start to look for how can we solve this and go to the technical people. And they said, okay, technical side, we are doing our best, but financial controls is a different job. And when you go to finance side, they're blaming the other side. This is not what we don't understand how this works. That's the reason adoption of FinOps is becoming a bit accelerated. And this year, 2024, we know that globally, we have financial problems, right? Everyone is trying to save for, you know, maybe worse days to, you know, be more cost-centric, to save more. And, you know, we have been through a pandemic that changed a lot. People start to use more and consume more online, and the systems has been improved more than it should be. My expectations, you know, we are living like 2027 now. We have accelerated so many things. That's the reason the cost you know, corrections or controls should be also accelerated at the same time. When we come to the software selection or tool selection, that is a bit, you know, ambiguous, because when you join a team as a FinOps professional, probably you will be the first or the second guy in that team. Then you start to make your decisions, because there is not so big guidance overall. It's easy to find a tool that you know of and you start to execute, because learning a tool set is tough. But, you know, I was in AWS reInvent this year and I checked all the booths. I get some demos from everyone. I think 85% of the booths are about FinOps, because FinOps is the biggest problem for 2024. That's the reason, you know, I recommend every FinOps professional to learn more tools that they know as of now and experiment them, because every use case has got a different tools. I have seen Kubernetes FinOps tools, you know, how to, you know, check the workloads. Even there are some tool FinOps tools, like if you are using a log aggregation tool, that can go to a huge cost. I have a client in Toronto now, a financial services, that are spending $1 million monthly for a log aggregation tool that they are not fully using, because they are sending all the logs, but no one is using it. That's worthless. There is some specific subset of, you know, logs should be, and this should be also organized from a centralized team to give them a direction about that. That's the reason most of the selections are people's selections. I like this tool, then I proceed for them. I don't see a technical guidance or C-level guidance, a thought leadership. This is the best tool that you can use and proceed. I don't see a majority of tools covering all the market. I've seen every one of my clients has got at least 2-3 different tools. They're still experimenting, trying to find which is best for them.
Yeah. So yes, brilliantly said. People are still in the phase of experimenting, let it be on the tools. And as you said, even the FinOps professionals, probably the first or the second or the third one, were still looking for some resources to help them and ally them in the process. So it differs from business to business, and based on the priorities, it differs. Like you said, everyone in the organization should collectively sit together, decide based on their priorities, and that's the best thing to do. Yeah. Great. So we have come to the verge of the episode. So thank you at all for your valuable insights throughout. I'm sure our listeners would have gained a lot of takeaways from this episode. So which is the best platform to reach you at all? It's just for the audience to contact you and nudge you more for the insights.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts about, you know, cloud, multi-cloud cost controls. And, you know, I recommend everyone to always cost conscious about what they provision in the cloud, how they architect, what's the best way for security, cost, and also architectural wise. And have a good year for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. And also, I hope people can reach out to you over LinkedIn. Is that the best
LinkedIn platform? LinkedIn is fine. I have a website also, errol.ca. And they can reach out to me, follow me, send a connection request from LinkedIn. And you know that I have many newsletters. If they want to learn more cloud, learn more AI and FinOps, I have some topics that I try to survive there. It's a tough to manage multiple newsletters, but I have a team supporting me as well. Thank you very much.
Yes, I already thought about it. How come he manages so many newsletters with so much of thoughts and insights? So yeah, you said it. Yeah. So pleasure having you with us today, Errol. Looking forward for more interesting conversations in the future. Listeners, if you have any grappling cloud challenges, write to us at info@ambisglobal.com. We'll take it as our next topic. Let's sort all the cloud challenges together. You're not alone. So till then, enjoy your cloud journey. Thank you.